Through the quiet and peace of this tranquil evening, poor, terrified, much afraid, came to the pool where the shepherd was waiting for her, and told him of her dreadful plight.
"What shall I do? They can't really force me to marry my cousin Craven, can they?"
"Don't be afraid," said the shepherd gently. "You are in my service, and if you trust me, they will not be able to force you into any family alliance. But you ought never to have let your relatives into your cottage, because they're enemies of the king, who has taken you into his employment."
"I know. Oh, I know. But whenever I meet any of my relatives, I seem to lose all my strength. As long as I live here in the valley, I cannot escape meeting them."
As she spoke, she lifted her eyes to the lovely sunset-lighted peaks of the mountains, then cried out in desperate longing,
"Oh, if only I could escape from this valley of humiliation and go to the high places, completely out of reach of all the fearings."
No sooner were these words uttered when, to her astonishment, the shepherd answered, "I have waited a long time to hear you make that suggestion, Much Afraid. It would indeed be best for you to leave the valley for the high places, and I will very willingly take you there myself. The lower slopes of those mountains are the borderland of my father's kingdom, the realm of love. No fears of any kind are able to live there, because perfect love casteth out fear."
Much Afraid stared at him in amazement. "Go to the high places? Oh, if only I could! But I could never get there. I'm too lame."
She looked down at her malformed feet, and her eyes filled with tears of despair and self-pity.
"These mountains are so steep and dangerous. I've been told that only the hinds and the deer can move on them safely."
"It is quite true that the way up is difficult and dangerous. It has to be, so that nothing which is an enemy of love can invade the kingdom. Nothing blemished or in any way imperfect is allowed there, and the inhabitants of the high places do need hinds' feet. I have them myself," he added with a smile. "And like a young hart or a roebuck, I can go leaping on the mountains and skipping on the hills with the greatest ease and pleasure." "I could make yours like hinds' feet also, and set you upon the high places. You could serve me then much more fully, and be out of reach of all your enemies."
Much Afraid stared at him in bewilderment. "Make my feet like hinds' feet? How is that possible? And what would the inhabitants of the kingdom of love say to a wretched little cripple with an ugly face and a twisted mouth, if nothing blemished and imperfect may dwell there?"
"It is true that you would have to be changed. But if you are willing to go with me, I promise to help you develop hinds' feet. Up there on the mountains, the air is fresh and invigorating, and there are streams with wonderful healing properties, so that those who bathe in them find all their blemishes washed away. But there is another thing. Not only would I have to make your feet like hinds' feet, but you would have to receive another name, for it would be as impossible for a Much Afraid to enter the kingdom of love as for any other member of the fearing family. Are you willing to be changed completely and to be made like the new name which you will receive if you become a citizen in the kingdom of love?"
She nodded her head. "Yes, I am."
Again he smiled, but added gravely, "There is still one thing more, the most important of all. No one is allowed to dwell in the kingdom of love unless they have the flower of love already blooming in their hearts. Has love been planted in your heart, Much Afraid?"
She did not answer for a long time, because she was not sure what to say. But she looked rather flinchingly into the eyes which were gazing at her so penetratingly, and became aware that they had the power of reflecting what they